This is a recording on the history of Westboro, hopefully the 1940s and 1950s, by James Dunn, who has been a postmaster since when?
1972.
And was born in Westboro.
1939.
And has lived here all your life, right? So you have a good background. I wanted to start off pretty early, what you remember perhaps. I don't know where you can start. If you remember Westboro in the 30s at all?
Oh, I think
as a child,
I remember.
What are some of the things you remember? Maybe the stores you went into?
Oh, I can remember the downtown area. I suppose that would be a good place to start.
What do you remember of downtown Westboro?
Downtown Westboro was mainly...
Starting at Town Hall, perhaps, and working down?
Town Hall. There was a Swan's Hardware, which is still Swan's Hardware, and was run by Mr. Swan, who then sold to Mr. Heckman, and Mr. Heckman then sold to the owner now, was Mr. Malone. I think that's the progression it went into.
But it has stayed Swan's Hardware.
Stayed Swan's Hardware all those years, and I think Mr. Heckman worked for Mr. Swan, as I remember. But right on the corner, before Swan's Hardware, I should go back, Swan's Hardware was much smaller than it is now. The store right on the corner was an insurance agency run by Rufus Shaw. And in the back, you would go into the front door in Rufus Shaw's, and his insurance company would be there, and there was a room out back where there was a barber shop, and there was an old fellow who was a barber out there, and I don't really remember what his name was, but that was. And the store next to it was Swan's Hardware, much smaller than it is today.
Fine. Now, there was a Blackstone Market someplace. Was that close?
That was way before my time. I never remember a Blackstone Market.
All right. That must have been the 20s then. All right.
Right. And let's see. The next door to that, there was a small grocery store run by Harold Chamberlain. Harold Chamberlain used to have a larger store that was where Carlson Daniels Insurance is on the Main Street. But Harold Chamberlain had a small store there.
This is after he had his large store?
Yes. This was probably from, I remember it back to 1937 or 8 up until, I would have no idea how long, probably into the 1950, ran a one-man store, one-man grocery store. And I think that's where Mel Jadian's barber shop is now. Okay, and next to that was a a soda shop called Thompson Spa. There's many Thompson Spas in Boston, but this was run by an old fellow from Westboro named Mr. Thompson.
And what was that like inside?
Thompson Spa. It had a fountain, a counter, and it had metal wire stools. I don't know, what do they call them? The ice cream parlor type stools.
And could you buy ice cream sodas?
I don't remember that store too well because I don't think I went in there very often, but I do remember it was there.
Okay.
And next door to that, where now there is, I don't know what's in there now, but JJ TV used to be in there. Was owned by the Wagner family for many years, and there was Wagner's Bakery.
That was Gus Wagner, right?
Gus Wagner was the old man. He had two or three sons, Raymond and Ray Wagner and Joe Wagner. But Gus was an old man.
Tell me about the bakery now. About that.
Okay, the bakery.
And how long it lasted? Do you know how long it was?
Well, it was there before I was a kid, and it was there up until into the 50s sometime. 60s. When did we get married? Yeah, it was there, into the 60s. So it had probably been there long before the 30s.
It was there, I know, 20s, even 1950s.
Yeah, I'm sure.
People used to leave their bean pot.
That's right, and they would fill up their bean pots.
And they'd fill it up on
Saturday night. Yeah, right.
Do you remember any people doing that?
Oh, sure. And the kids would go in and they would make all their own cakes, and you could buy a piece of cake for whatever size you wanted to get. They would have, they would cut it up, and kids used to run down when the school was on Main Street. And at noontime, that was a big place where all the kids would go for pieces of cake or cookies or things, and they would always make, everything was homemade. They had a bakery out back, and they would be in there at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and everything would be ready, and people would have bread ordered, and you'd go in and order, pick up your bread after 10 or 11.
When it was cool enough to
cut, yeah. They sold great white bread and oatmeal bread and things like that were very, very popular for years.
So you would put your order in the morning?
Well, you could put it in, or you could have a standing order.
You'd pick up your bread early in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Cool,
they wouldn't slice it until it was a little bit cool.
So it would be about 10?
Yeah,
if you remember things too.
No, I don't remember. No, he remembers.
Okay.
I'm just talking.
And that would have cookies and homemade cakes and and just a lot of breads and a very popular place, must have been.
Right.
Thompson Spar, do you know when that went out? Because I think that Faye Dairy said that they supplied them.
I don't really know. Probably they went out of business in the late 40s, early 50s, maybe. Let's see.
And you probably, Gus Wagner used to deliver things with a horse and wagon, but that was in the
before
20s.
Before my time.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, after Wagner's what?
Going down the street would be, there was a store. It used to be Harold Chamberlain's, but when I was a kid growing up in the 30s, it was Herman's. Okay.
And what was Herman's?
Herman was a apparel store run by Herman Cohen in Worcester. He was there for many, many years. He started with a very small store that is the now the Robinson's Music. And then he bought the whole store and moved into it. And who was there before? I don't know. First remember him, he just had the small store. Who had the big store before that? I really, funny, I can't remember.
Now, are we almost at the corner now?
No, we are coming to where, what is now the Westboro Newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid growing up, that was a hardware store also. That was called Fred's Hardware.
There are two hardwares right in the same store, right in the same
Right
block.
On the same street, going down the street, Fred's Hardware. And I don't know how long he was in business. I think he went out of business when Bill Ford bought the, moved from across the street into there and started the newsroom there.
And that was, when did Bill Ford do that?
Well, I worked for Bill Ford when I was in high school. It was a smoke shop and a newspaper store. That was in 46 and 47. And he moved over there afterwards, I think. He probably moved over in the 50s, early 50s. Okay, next to that was what is now the Westboro Spectacle Shop, was the Mass Electric, for many years, the Mass Electric store in Westboro. Massachusetts Electric used to sell and service appliances, and they would sell the appliances there, and you could go and pay a bill. They always had a woman work there, Jenny DeProfio worked there for years.
You could buy toasters and electric mixers.
Oh, sure,
like
everything,
that.
Refrigerators, washing machines, they always had a salesman there. It was for many, many years, that's what that was.
And where is that? That's
where the Westboro Spectacle Shop
Spectacle
is now.
And that went on for quite a long time.
Oh, a long time. That was, we bought some things there, didn't we, Bev, when we were first married, and that was in the
50s.
Probably into the 60s, anyways. It was there. Did they? So they were there for a good number of years.
Any markets on that besides Chamberlain? That
yeah, there was a, going down towards the corner, the next store was a Macca. That is the package store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was owned by the present owner's father, Sam Halpern. Allie Halpern is now the owner of the Wexford package store. and it was owned by his father. I think his father's name was Sam, but I'm not sure.
Name of it Halpin's Market, or was it?
I think it was Halpin's Market or Red and White, Stop and Go, or something, one of those. I don't really remember what the name of it was.
All right.
And on the corner, the very corner, what is now the Bloons over Westboro, was a jewelry store for many, many years.
Welch's, was that?
Welch's, and then it was bought by W. Ray Bullen. After W. Ray Bullen, it was bought by J. Baron Mason. So it went from Welch to Bullen to J. Baron Mason to the West, to who now, the fellow who now owns it, Vic.
It was Westboro Jewelry for when I
came to town.
Yeah,
I think it was Westboro Jewelry, yeah.
When was Mason the jeweler there?
He was...
Who was there? Welch was quite a long time.
Yeah,
do you
Welch was
Welch?
There, yeah.
When you were
When I was a
up?
Kid. And probably J. Baron Mason bought it in the 40s, probably late 40s maybe. Middle 40s, just a guess. Okay. I guess Ray Bullen bought it first. I don't know where Ray Bullen, yeah, Ray Bullen had bought it from Welch.
No.
J.B. Mason and his wife ran it for years.
Now, starting on the other side of Main Street at the cemetery and going down.
Always the savings bank, as you know, because I remember it was the first building. Next building was the, let's see, I'm trying to get this in my mind now, was the First National Bank of Westboro.
Side by side.
Mm-hmm. First National. That store where the Guaranteed Bank is now was three stores, the First National Bank of Westboro, the Westboro Newsroom, and the Sanitary Barbershop.
Sanitary just moved across the street.
Yeah, well, that was his father that was that.
Oh.
Old Mr. Mel J. and John Lennon.
And the newsroom was run first by?
When I, ever since I, used to be run by the, by Howard Chamberlain for years. And when I was a kid, it was bought by Bill Ford. Bill Ford was a town character who owned it for many, many years and later moved it across the street and ran until he died. He was in both worlds. He was in both wars. He was in the service in the Navy in the First War and also the Second World War.
And what was in the newsroom? Tobacco, candy, newspapers?
Okay, tobacco and newspapers mostly. And after the Second World War, around 1945, he built a coffee shop in the back room. Coffee shop there. That was one of the first coffee shops in town. It was very successful with a lot of people who go there.
It was just called the Newsroom Coffee Shop?
The Westboro Newsroom.
Mm-hmm. Then what's next? Was there
Sanitary Barbershop.
Yeah. And then after that?
After that.
That's a Berkeley shop.
Next was Blankenship's. Jim Blankenship's was a dry goods store.
Is that what became
Berkeley, it's now
which
Golden.
Became
no, it's now Golden's.
Golden's, all right.
Now Berkeley was on another corner.
Okay.
That became Golden's.
And that was yard goods and women's dresses?
Mm-hmm. Yard goods. And next to Blankenship's was the town Rexall.
Is that Buxton?
Yes, Mr. Buxton was the first one who owned it, and then Earnshaw's owned it. And after Earnshaw, Joe Havure bought it from Earnshaw's.
Is that in the 50s, was
it? Mm-hmm. Then Harold Feldman, I think, bought it from.
And then it became the town, yeah,
town pharmacy. Was the town Rexall in the beginning, but it became the town pharmacy. Next to that, where Orlando's Auto Shop is now in the corner store, or the circle store, was the F.W. Woolworth and the First National store side by side.
Now, First National was on the corner, though.
Yes.
Now, I remember,
Paula and Lois Day.
Were they twins and they both worked
they
there?
They were sisters, they weren't.
They sure looked alike.
Yeah, no. Well, Olive worked for many years for Bill Ford. She worked all her life for Bill Ford in the newsroom, Olive.
So Woolworths, the 10 set, 5 and 10.
Mm-hmm. And Woolworths, that was 5 there, and 10.
Was that there ever since you were a kid?
Mm-hmm. Ever since I can remember.
And it went out, I think, down in the 70s. When I came to town in 73, it was still there. It wasn't Woolworths, though.
No, it wasn't Woolworths. It was the guy from Spencer Mills, 5 and 10 or something. No, it was Godin's.
It was Godin's. But it still was a 5 and 10 feeling
about
it.
Yeah, but all the old furniture that Woolworth had and everything was taken out, of course. And the First National store used to have a big awning in front of it, and all the fruit and vegetables would be out on the sidewalk, and the doors open.
Now, somebody told me they remembered people putting their order in or coming to shop and leaving their order in the window for the husbands to pick it up on their way home from work because they came up from town and they didn't have any transportation.
Yeah.
So they'd leave their name or whatever and their husband would pick up the bundles in the First National. Now, the First National was there ever since you were growing up for it.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. When we first got married, we used to shop there in the First National, and that was into the... Right? We used to go in there.
So do you know when it went out?
In the 60s.
Yeah, probably. Early 60s.
And that was the corner of...
Milk
and West Main. Then across on the arcade building one.
Berkeley store.
That's what Berkeley is. And right now that's a woman's regalia.
It's always been, since I can remember, a woman's shop. Berkeley sold out to Hudson. But Berkeley was there for years.
And then Lord's, was it?
Lord's. It was always Lord's.
always Lord. You were telling me a story about Mr. Lord.
Yeah, he was, I don't think he had any children, and he had Charlie Duckworth work for him when Charlie was in school. And when he died, he left Charlie the store and his house and everything else. And Charlie Duckworth has been there ever since, I think.
He must have been working there since, I don't know how old.
I would say he was a young kid working there, but I don't really know. Charlie Duckworth today is probably 75 years old. Still.
He's maybe 60 years he's been working at Lord's Solomon's.
I would say probably, right.
So that's always been a men's shop.
Yeah, always been a men's shop. It looks the same today as it did in 1930. Have you ever been in there?
Yep. It's nice. It's a good atmosphere.
Yeah, that's right.
Wooden counters.
I don't think it's been painted at all, ever.
Well, it's got history, that patina of age. That's
right.
Then Cobbler and Barber,
yeah, usually? Cobbler has always been there. And I don't know who the first Cobbler was, but it's always...
Do you remember a Cobbler in town, or was there one usual one that...
No, there was one named Sam. There was two named Sam over most of the years, and I don't know what their last names were. They're both from Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
I know the last Sam was Sam Corndoom. And the fellow before him was there from... When I was a kid up until about middle 1950s, I don't know what his last name was.
Sam the Cobbler.
Always Sam the Cobbler.
And then there was a barbershop?
Barbershop, and he's always been a barbershop. It was run first when I was a kid by Mr. Adams. Then it was run by the Gravelines. They were from Whitensville, father and son.
Then there was... Is that where the Greeks came? Is the next
Greeks
restaurant?
Is the next, right.
Yeah.
They always called it the Greeks.
Now, why?
It was the Puritan restaurant.
Why it was called the Greeks?
Because Greeks ran it.
But what a name, the Puritan restaurant, run by the Greeks.
Always and called the Greeks.
Now,
that was a...
Sounded like it was not a family restaurant.
No, it was not a family restaurant.
Not a family restaurant.
No, they always had a
back room.
Back room.
That's where the...
Where cards were played, drinks were drunk.
The Pure. Then comes Summer Street.
Summer Street.
And a beauty bar?
That used to be a bar room. That used to be Malone's Bar when I was a kid. I don't really remember the name of it, but I think it was Malone's.
The corner where the beauty parlor is now.
Then it became a beauty parlor around, right after the war in probably between 45 and 50. It was run by Gilly. What was his name? It was a Frenchman. Gilbert was his last name. They always called him Gilly.
Then next to that was the tailor.
Used to be an electrical shop run by where Page Jewelers is. Some electrical contractors ran there for years. The names were Cynical. They were from Grafton, but they ran an electric store in there. Next to that was Starobin the Tailor.
He's been there for a long time.
Well, I'm not sure if he's still been in that same store.
He moved up, because I did an interview of him once. He moved up from down East Main.
Yeah, that's right. I know where he was. I'm not sure now.
It's not like now I'm down near the Shell store.
I can't remember. I know he was somewhere else, and I don't really remember where. But next to that was, there was a house, what is now the Mini Fams, was always a house, and hadn't been a store until the last 10 or 15 years, what was always a house, and a front had been put on in the last 10 or 15 years.
Was there a honey farm someplace? Was that Honey Farms before it was Mini Farms?
No. That was next door where the TV place was. That was Honey Farms. No, Beverly was next door. Next to that where the TV place is and the men's weightlifting place. That was for years McDonald's Mac. And that was run by the McDonald family.
It says A. McDonald. Yeah. Is it Arthur or what's his name?
I don't know what it is. I think it's the old man's name was probably Arthur maybe, but I'm not sure. But he had some sons, Louis and Raymond. Punk and what they call them. Punk McDonald and Louie. And another brother, I think. But I'm not sure. That was went for years.
Yeah, that's an old fashioned market.
That's right, it really was.
Now that kept going until
when I was a mailman in 19. I used to deliver mail there.
That's why you remember everybody.
I used to deliver mail there in 19. When did I sat in post office? 55, so. He was there probably until 1960 or 65 when he died. He always had a back room there. Called it the Blue Room. It was known in town as the Blue Room. That's where a guy could go into the back room, have a drink, and shoot the breeze.
Gotta have those places,
those
too.
Back rooms.
It seemed like Westboro had a lot of back rooms. Yeah. More back rooms than front rooms.
What was his famous saying?
We used to have a sign on the cash register that it used to say, the First National Bank of Westboro has agreed to sell no whiskey, has agreed to sell, not to sell whiskey, wine and beer, and in turn I have agreed to cash no more checks.
So
in other words, he didn't accept checks.
All right. What about the AMP? Now that was down
AMP, you would no, it was around the corner.
Don't forget Lily's.
corner where the beauty salon is, there's a little
that
side
Ms. Kim's there. Dance, and then it was
before that. You know that little jut out on that building? The Leo Castanares had a barber shop in there for 60 or 70 years. 60 years, probably. He just retired a couple of years ago.
Right, now where'd the A&P go?
Was right next door on that building right beside there, which Ms.
It
Kim's
is.
It
is Ms. Kim, yeah, all right.
Okay, that whole building was the A&P.
And you remember that? That was there when you were young, too? Or did that come in later?
No, that came in later. That probably came in probably early 40s. Maybe before that, but I don't remember before that.
Well, what's Leo's?
It's the barbershop.
The barbershop. Leo Castanares, that's
And going up, going
up Summer. Right?
Summer Street. There was another building there that had a novelty shop in it and was run by Ed Marshall. It was kind of a little variety store, and also a card game room out back.
What about the Strand Theater?
That was next door.
The Strand.
The apartment houses at 11 Summer Street at now was the Strand Theater.
And what do you remember about the Strand Theater then?
Well, the Strand Theater was
pretty popular, I'm sure.
Very, very popular. It had matinees and Saturday and Sunday matinees and every night of the week. And they would
double
always
feature.
Double feature and news and cartoons. If you went Monday night, they'd give away free dishes at Carnival Glass that is now...
Is that in the 30s particularly? They usually think 30s.
30s and 40s, and that is now very... that's antique now, and very expensive, but that was given away at nights when you'd go there. And they used to have previews during the two features, and during the previews, everybody would go outside and smoke. And that was a very good time for kids to mingle with the smokers and then walk in for the last free show. That went on for years and years, and everybody did that.
Very clever. You knew all the tricks.
All the kids did that.
Okay. Then, let's see. What I wanted to establish was what the factories were also on Milk Street, what you remember as ongoing factories in Milk Street.
Okay, we can start at Kenworthy's and work.
Yeah, now you remember Kenworthy's.
To the center of town, right?
And Kenworthy's right now is where Westboro Tape starts. Well,
no.
Westboro Weave, it says on it.
It says Westboro Weaving on it, but I've always...
That left in 1929, I just found out.
I was going to say, and Kenworthy's have been there ever since I was a kid.
So that probably came in right after.
In the 30s, probably early 30s, and they were in the shoe industry. They made inner soles and other things, welts and things for shoes.
Someone said rubberized material, they remember, too, like a canvas, or maybe canvas for shoes.
I don't know. I knew they made materials for
but
shoes.
But it was like a treatment
I don't know.
Material.
I don't really know what they...
But it was tied into the shoe industry.
Yes, it was. And that was run by Harry Kenworthy, and later his son Herb Kenworthy. And in fact, Herb Kenworthy Jr. still lives in Westboro on Marble Street. He was the last one to run it. And then when the shoe business went downhill, that was the end of that. Okay, and heading towards the center of town on the same side, where the vacant lot is all grown up with a fence around it, that was the... Westboro Tape.
Now, was that Mason?
Yes, the Mason family. Now, that's when that closed, J. Baron Mason bought the jewelry store downtown, I told you from.
Okay, so
he was one of the sons.
So, it was a Mason. And they made woven tape, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Were there two buildings?
There were...
Because Chase Paper went into it in 59, and they tell me they went into two factories, or at least one.
Well, there was a building out back, I guess.
I guess it was a walkway.
I think there were two buildings, right?
Now, when you were growing up, people worked in the Westboro Tape Factory.
Mm-hmm.
weaving machines? Do you know?
Yeah, they look like big looms, like you would see in old pictures of old films of looms going all the time, making the type of noise. And there were two floors, mm-hmm. I think. James, yeah, I'm sure there were two floors.
Was tape used in sewing, whatever tape was used in? It's like cloth tape.
I don't know. See, I was a kid. I didn't make.
Okay, but that was probably. Mm-hmm. Right. Then, across the street,
downtown, there was a diner that was very, very popular. It was called Courtney's Diner.
Now, was it a real diner?
A real diner, yeah, it really was.
And that's where kids and families would go to eat?
Well, mostly the workers and all that. From all the factories around there, they did a big business. That was run by Bill Courtney for many, many years.
Do you know when that left? Was it where Village Lumber is now, basically?
No, where Village Lumber, well, part of it, no. Where Village Lumber is now was Travis Gas Station. It was a gas station on the corner with a diner right beside it. And Village Lumber is really where Travis was.
And then just kind of on the corner going up toward the factory would be the
diner. Right, the diner kind of sat in there.